Lucas Stories making headlines this morning.
Thank you, Femi. So we started this hour with a conversation with our friend John Fox, who's been out of work for well over a year in the construction trade and is trying to find work. He says there are a few jobs in his area in North Carolina that he hasn't already applied for. He'd like to move to where the jobs are, but he can't. He can't sell his house. He's trapped. Our partners at the New York Times are reporting this morning that a lot of Americans are in John Fox's situation because fewer Americans moved last year than at any time since 1962. What does this have to do with? Sam Roberts joins us. He's a New York Times reporter. He writes all about demographics. We are really seeing demographics fused with the economic downturn in this story, right, Sam?
John, that's absolutely true. Well, one of the things we're seeing now is that people are stuck in their homes. They're unable or unwilling to sell their houses at fire sale prices that ordinarily would have a much bigger impact on the economy, because one of the things that American mobility has been so good in providing is getting people to where the jobs are. That's a little mitigated this time because, as John Fox points out, there are no jobs. So he doesn't have any place to move to, and he can't move.
So the first time, I mean, this is the lowest moving rate since 1962. I mean, Americans are always described as a very, very mobile culture. There's got to be more to this story, though, than just the economic downturn this year. This is a trend that's been going on for a while.
That's absolutely true. It's the lowest rate, actually, since back in the late 1940s, the lowest number since 1962. And the number and the rate have both been going down, particularly the rate, for a couple of decades. And there are reasons for that, a number of reasons. One, the aging of the population. Typically, people move when they're in their 20s and 30s. Two-earner families have been increasing, which means it's much tougher for both spouses to find jobs someplace else. The home ownership rate has been increasing, and one thing that's done is make people a little bit less mobile. So all of those things have sort of conspired to make us a much less mobile society, sort of dampening the wanderlust that Americans typically have.
And the fact that these homeowners can't sell their homes, even in the midst of a housing bubble burst like this, means they're trapped. So as home ownership rates come down, still people can't necessarily move. Talk about the moving industry itself. There are all kinds of industries and sectors of the economy that depend on moving. What's happening to them?
Well, that's true. There's an economic impact on that, not just on movers, but on all the people they employ, on people who do renovations in houses, people who sell and manufacture durable goods, like appliances in particular, that people are more likely to buy for their new homes. So the decline in mobility itself has an economic impact. And movers all across the country are saying that decline is pronounced. It's something they've never seen to this extent before, particularly in interstate moves, which are made primarily when people retire and even more so when people switch jobs. They move between states.
You know, I'm not a demography expert like you are, Sam, but I was looking at these numbers. In 2008, the Census Bureau says 35.2 million people changed residences. And the year before, it was 38.7. That's a huge number.
It is a huge number. It's about 11 or so percent of the population. And Americans still move at rates that are much higher than people in other developed countries. But that percent has been going down. And it goes down from a peak, a modern peak, of about 20%, twice the rate that we're moving now, as recently as the 1980s.
You know, what we've seen in a lot of these economic downturn stories is how much elasticity exists in the U.S. economy. For instance, in the housing market, so much of demand was propped up by refinancing, people flipping homes, speculators buying multiple homes. And as that gets sort of skimmed off the top and you get down to the basic sort of people who want to buy homes, you know, the demand is much, much less. There's a lot of elasticity in this moving number as well. If we're at 11% and we're at a historic low from 1962, there's a lot farther that we could actually go down, right?
There is indeed. And when you look at those interstate moves, which are a good barometer of people changing jobs, that numerically there were fewer interstate movers last year than any year since 1950, when the nation's population was about half of what it is today. That's an enormous jump, and it's half the rate recorded as recently as the beginning of this decade.
Does this benefit the cities or benefit the suburbs or neither?
Well, you know, you can make an argument that the cities are a little more stable, that people are less likely to abandon neighborhoods, but it also creates a certain static condition. Home ownership is very good in terms of stability, but it also, as we say in the story, strands people.
I know you also took a look at immigration numbers and not just migration numbers domestically. What do you see there?
Well, Catherine, that's true, too. Immigration from overseas is the lowest in more than a decade. It's still fairly high. It's still over a million, but it's been dropping, and in part that's a factor of jobs. It often is a reflection of immigration laws and other global events, but in this case, people are not coming to some extent because the jobs aren't here.
Sam, before we go, you know, we talk a lot about buy locally and energy efficiency and all of that. Would it just be better somehow if Americans stayed put? Would that produce over the long haul some benefits for the economy or no?
I don't think so. I mean, you can point to some benefits, but if you talk to economists, Joe Tracy, research director at the Federal Reserve Bank, who I talked to yesterday, says that less mobility is a serious problem because it means people are not getting matched to their jobs. The labor market starts to improve, and it will. If mobility stays low, you worry about the allocation of workers finding the jobs that best suit them. And that mobility has often been a very important factor in the vitality of the American economy.
Well, get a hold of the New York Times or go online and look at the numbers. Our partners at the New York Times are reporting fewer Americans moved last year than at any time since 1962, directly related to the housing slump. Sam Roberts reported the story. Thanks so much, Sam.
Thank you, John and Catherine.
Reporter for the New York Times.
Okay, John, you know when people are moving? When they open up their credit card bills. Yo! They jump back. Tell us how credit is messing with your life. President Obama taking on the credit card companies today. What are your stories?
My credit card company, which is Bank of America, just sent me a letter stating that they're going to raise my interest rate significantly for absolutely no reason other than the fact that they can. And this is a bank that needed a bailout and received a bailout, and now this is what they're doing to their loyal customers.
Do you feel like you're bailing out the credit card companies? Tell us your stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us, mytake@thetakeaway.org. And the grace period is almost up for Chrysler. Here's your takeaway.
They have basically 7 days from today to get this deal done, and I think there will be a deal at some point here announced. We'll just have to see if it meets what the administration is looking for.
They've got some serious credit card bills there in the auto industry. That's Nick Bunkley from our partner, the New York Times. Here's an email on the credit card thing, Catherine. Nikolai says, I disputed a $79 charge that I did not recognize in June of 2009. Then I received a letter from a legal firm on behalf of Citibank. My statements totaled over $1,100, all of which were late fees.
Ooh.
Wow.
That's got to hurt.
Tell us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
And, of course, if you want to hear more of our discussion with Nick Bunkley about the auto industry, subscribe to our podcast at our website. That is thetakeaway.org.
I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Catherine Lamford. And this is The Takeaway.